I'm excited about this show.
Why is that?
Because we actually have a topic, and this is really rare. We have a topic I care about and want to talk about.
Dude, we have a couple topics. Oh, that you care about.
I mean, that I really care about.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to BS. Most of the topics I care about to some extent, but it's just junk I write down during the week.
Yeah.
So that, like, I don't have to come in here an hour beforehand. I'm like, what's going on in the world?
Well, last week we talked about fast food, right? So that's a topic I'm passionate about. I don't know about you.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like to think that I'm so above fast food because I usually eat Chipotle now. I feel like I'm taking off my sweatshirt so you can finally see my tits and my hard nipples.
Thank God.
Exactly. Distract you till the end of the show.
Like this, man.
Folks, it is the Papa's Basement Show. I am John Papa Giorgio, joined today by the lovely, vivacious Othello.
Thanks, man.
There you go. Yeah, he just smiled at me like Vanna White at Pat Sajak. I liked it. Made me happy. Show site in papasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done, and use the podcast app if you have an iDevice, or Stitcher if you have a Droid, because you are poor, a nerd, or foreign. So let me bring this down. We were doing show prep, and we actually do that. I know it sounds like we're winging it a lot of times, but we do show prep. We kind of just spitball ahead of time in
the
studio.
Take it serious, man. This is a serious show.
It is to some extent. It is. I love that you have a radio background. I love that I come in here and I'm not throwing other co-hosts under the bus. Like, people are like, where's Howard?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I threw Howard out or something. Howard is just really busy working right now. Howard was like a cancer wife who was on board with the picking of my next chick. You know, like, she has ovarian cancer.
Oh my God.
And she's like, yeah, but I need to make sure that the chick you're with is good with the kids.
Does that happen?
Yeah, I swear I saw a movie about it or something like that. Not like a factual movie. It was just the premise of it.
Right, yeah.
So at least in the confines of this movie, it happened. But, you know, if I was going by Total Recall, I could tell you they could implant memories.
So I was hand selected by your boy Howard?
Yeah, Howard was like, you know what? I like what Othello can bring.
Cool.
I described
You're
what
definitely
you had.
Making that up, but I appreciate it. That's nice of you.
I'm making up at most 50% of it. I described your skill set, that you had the radio background, and he was completely on board.
Sweet.
Yes.
I can work with it.
So while Howard is walking around with no eyebrows and a kerchief on his head due to the chemo,
Jesus.
We got Othello in here tearing it up. So we're spitballing before the show, and we came up with topics, you know, slice of life from all the things I had happen to me this week, and Oates is going through his own stuff and also reading the stories, the news of the day.
Right, and just going over shows that TV shows that I obsess over.
Yeah, like, what is it? My husband's not gay.
My husband's not gay. There's Child Genius on Lifetime.
What is the story of Child Genius?
It's like this competition with these little kids who are, you know, geniuses.
Yeah.
And it follows them and their parents around, and, you know, most of them are like Indian or Asian, and they have the strictest parents ever who are kind of like forcing them to not do anything other than study. So I don't know. It's kind of sad and funny.
You
want to
know
time.
How that show ends up? You're looking at it.
Is that what your childhood was like?
Yeah. I had a strict mom who got me like tutors and crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was like, she just knew I was smart as a kid, but I think it was also a byproduct of her like teaching me crap early on.
Yeah.
Because when you're little, you just have to like know stuff ahead of time to appear really intelligent.
That's,
you know,
true. Yeah.
Like, if you can count at like 4 months or whatever the hell, that might be like freakishly early. I don't know, babies for
yeah,
S.
I don't know.
But, you know, you look like baby Einstein.
That's true. Yeah.
But all you're doing is counting.
Well, I mean, but did your mom ever give up? Because I feel like my mom did the same thing, but when she realized that I was just not going to do it, I was just a C student, she was like, all right, whatever, do whatever you want.
They didn't give up until high school, when it was my mission to show them that I could be dumb. And I just did drugs.
Nice,
all
man.
The time.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I did drugs all the time and wore, I want to say, 8 Metallica shirts.
Okay.
A bunch of Slayer shirts.
So you're serious about this rebellious behavior.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, no, I won, like, one fork in my story, and, like, I could have been the Columbine kid.
Oh,
I just didn't wear that jacket.
All right, that's good.
Like, I laughed at the trench coat kids because they were the art drama kids.
Yeah, they were the posers. Remember that word back in the day?
The posers, yes. Posers.
But I think we started talking about the show My Husband's Not Gay.
Yes.
And that led us down a path of, you know, talking about Howard Stern, who had discussed it on his show. I don't know if you still listen, but that's actually where I found out about it.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, my last Stern listening was three-ish years ago at this point, 4 years, and my brother turned me on to Opie and Anthony,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't really given a shot since, like, they were kicked off the air back in 2000 when I was like, I don't believe in the label shock jock, mm-hmm. but these guys are actual shock. Like, they have no content outside of being shocking.
Yeah.
And, like, look how edgy we are, man.
Oh, dude, back then, that's all
they were unlistenable. They were unlistenable back then.
Yeah.
And I heard them, like, you know what, back in 2009, I guess, or 11, we're talking at this point. And I was like, holy crap, they're, like, really good all of a sudden. When did this happen? You know, I was like seeing the ugly chick suddenly grew tits over the senior year.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed. And, like, Stern, at that same time, signed his current contract where he's, like, in studio 2 times a week, and I'm like, ugh. how much more am I going to listen to Gary Delabate? God bless him, I love him, but, like, how much more do I need to listen to him and John Kine or whatever, like, dissect, like, the one show that was live that
talking
week
about the wrap-up show?
Yeah
Man, it's definitely not what it used to be. I remember, like, when I first started, you know, everybody who, you know, grew up around the same time as we did, saw the E! Shows and
the E! Show was the best thing when I was like 14, 15, like, every porn star I was into was introduced to me via the E! Show. Like, Jenna Jameson owes her damn career in some part to
That's definitely true. I mean, she was in Private Parts and
man,
it was such a great show back then. I don't know if it's because, like, it was, like I said, something we grew up with, and there's a little bit of nostalgia there or what, but
he's always done a great interview.
Yeah.
And it was almost always interview-based stuff, and if it wasn't an interview, it was like him ripping into Jackie Martling.
That's true, yeah. which is super entertaining.
Like, just seeing Fred hold the Jackie puppet. Like, what more do you want, man?
But, man, like, when was the last time you regularly listened to the show?
Like I said, I had about a 1 year window right after Artie, like, I guess, left the show and tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
And Stern came back kind of strong, and then he re-signed a contract where it was like, I am in, like, a kid with cancer. So much cancer in the first 10 minutes of the show.
It's too much, man.
Like, the 2 times a week where I'm not barfing my guts out, I come in for high school and I'm like 4'6" and I'm all stunted.
Dude, I'm so depressed right now.
Yeah.
The show, I mean, I still regularly listen. I don't know why. I mean, it's not as, you know, say it's not as entertaining is not even close to the brutal, honest truth, which is, it's almost unlistenable at some point.
Is he on, like, more than 2-3 times a week at this point, or what?
I mean, it depends what time of the year it is. Now that he's doing AGT, America's Got Talent, which is, like, third year in a row.
Which is a dumb gong show piece of crap that he became a part of.
Yeah.
And you were explaining, like, dude, obviously he's not going to throw it under the bus because it's his thing.
Yeah.
But it's what he would have killed in the day.
They talk about the show. They take calls on acts that they see on the show. They discuss, like, different talents that they... you know, that he had to judge. And the worst part is, there are so many bad things that happened to the show now that he's associated with AGT. First of all, Nick Cannon and Mel B and Heidi Klum and Howie, they're on the show all the time. They're guests on his show regularly just because they're his...
That's horrible.
Yeah, they're...
Okay, this is a weird tangent. To the naked eye, like, I just looked at Mel B, or I looked at the Scary Spice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The black chick from the Spice Girls. And I looked at Heidi Klum. Like, in the abstract, I'd be like, they're obviously not young, but, like, they're attractive enough.
Yeah.
But they've both had, like, 4 kids. Dude. And, like, I don't know about you. Here goes the MILF vote for the show. There's something about a chick with kids, like, do not like.
Yeah. No, I'm with
just
you, man.
Very not set. Like, a chick who doesn't have kids, she's a sex object. You know, I'm not saying she doesn't have her life, and, like, I'm not trying to make her sound like that's all she's good for, but, like, she's just sexy and there's nothing standing in the way of that. Whereas like a chick with a kid, she can like try to be sexy and then she'll just turn around and be like, Bradley, I told you to do your goddamn homework. Did you do it yet?
Or they lead with the kids a lot when that's the opposite of what any guy wants.
Yeah.
You'll hear any guy talk about being on those dating apps, how some chicks will put like a picture of the baby or whatever in their profile picture.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, so
help me make his half sibling. That's what it's saying.
And I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but we're comparing a new car to used car.
That's it, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's totally understandable. I mean, what you're saying is that they could have picked some other young female celebrities
was it a prerequisite that you've got like, you know, just a vag like a clown car? I mean, they've each had, I think, at least like three, four.
I don't know. I don't know like where what's their judging background? I guess Heidi Klum is on that fashion show or whatever.
Yeah, but like, what did Scary Spice do?
Right. You know,
like she was out in the late 90s, back before like guys were racially cool. I feel like I thought I was such a trendsetter, being like, yeah, I'd bang the black one. All my friends would be like, what?
Doesn't she have a kid with like Eddie Murphy or something?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. But I swear she has like four other kids. Like she's just pumped them out.
Probably. I mean, once you have one, you know, it's like tattoos. You know what I mean?
Like, can't stop. Good analogy.
But, the thing is, this dude, Stern, is like, it's almost like he's completely changed as a person and as a celebrity because of the success of his show. Because he went from being like the dorky, like, dude that doesn't belong in Hollywood, that is, you know, kind of a representative of the common man, sort of. You know what I mean? Like, he would ask celebrities questions that people wonder. And
not only, he was really famous, but he was the guy that just, like, went home to a Long Island basement or whatever and, like, looked at computer porn. It's like, I do that.
exactly. But, dude, now, like, he talks about nonstop. He talks about meditation nonstop. He talks about freaking, you know, weird hippie things. He has his wife on who has a animal charity all the time, and they
clown on that hard on Opie and Anthony.
Dude, they should, man.
One time she came in just for a 3-hour cat adoption special.
Oh my, dude, she cried on air about the cats, and everyone was like taking it seriously in the studio, which is like completely backwards. Like that is not what the Howard Stern show is known for. You know, cat
like,
adoption.
If a chick came in and cried about cat adoptions, he would have like thrown her ass on the Sibian. He would have thrown bologna on her tits.
Dude, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or like it would have just been Fred doing an impression of her crying the whole time.
Like in to her face as she's crying. Yeah. And now it's like it's almost like he doesn't even realize what he is doing. I mean, the AGT stuff is out of hand. Every year he does the same bit. Every single year he will put it out there. Am I going to sign? Am I going to re-sign? Am I going to leave the show?
Effing carny.
And he will, here's what annoys me is that I think everybody in the listening audience knows, dude, you're going to re-sign, obviously. Like,
of course.
You have been doing it a long time, or I guess 3 years now.
You've anchored your show around it at this point.
You talk about it all the time. You're getting paid a lot of money. It's what you want. It's getting you even more fame. And every single year, he puts it out there. Oh, I'm not feeling it. I don't think I'm going to do
it
this
year.
It's
just a little radio shtick. Like, am I going to re-sign? You know? No, you're going to leave radio, and you're going to become a runway model. I mean, what the hell?
And people call in, and they're like, oh, come on. Like, re-sign. We love you on the show, this and that. I'm like, if you call in, if anybody calls in, Bobo the Clown, or freaking any regular caller that calls in and says, we want you to re-sign, you're not a fan of The Howard Stern Show, because that is not what The Howard Stern Show is. Talking about AGT, talking about people juggling bowling pins.
What pandering to the ego, though? That's like the chick at the concert who's, like, on a dude's back. And she's already got her hands under her top, and it's scrunched up. And it's like, I don't know if I want to show my tits, guys. And everyone's just losing their mind. And it's like, okay. And she kind of pulls them out. That's what he's doing. He's got a show your tits moment.
Except, I mean, the tits are really gross. And
like,
you know, there's a third nipple there somewhere because nobody wants him to re-sign, but he always does. And I mean, it's ruining the show because, like I said, when he does AGT, he has to, you know, travel and do all that other stuff. So, you know, every other week is a week of two shows. He comes in at 7 now, so they're 3-hour shows. So it's like 6 hours of new programming a week. Why is anybody paying for that?
I have no idea. He wants to act like he's so above everything. By the way, if anyone from Stern ever listens to this, I love you.
Me too, man.
I want to work for you.
You guys hiring?
Yeah, exactly. I want to be on that train, but no one will ever listen, so we're very safe.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say other than time's passed him by. You know what it reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, like, he's grown as a person. Time just does that. I get that. But think of, like, an old metal band, like Slayer, or even think of the Ramones before they, you know, well, broke up via death, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They went out there, and they're 50-year-old men, but they're still playing the music of rebellion. Like, the Ramones at, like, age 40 didn't discover the lute and the flute. And then they were like, hey, audience, come along with it. Slayer isn't, like, getting Peter Cetera to sing with them.
I'm trying to think of a, because I'm a R&B and hip-hop guy, so I'm trying to think of a comparison for that genre of music. Maybe it's like...
I guess just think of a gangster that still keeps it like gangster. Like
still keeps it real.
Yeah, like Mr. Scarface or something like that from the Ghetto Boys.
Scarface, yeah. He had a hit song like 10 years ago, but I see what you're saying. It's like...
Like, they get older, but they know what their audience is there for, and they'll suck it up and they'll go through the motions because we don't want them for something else.
So... Okay, so I guess what you're saying is the right thing for... So that's not what Stern is doing. You're saying the Ramones, if they were to come back and play the same music, that would be ideal.
Yes.
Whereas what Stern is doing is the complete opposite of that.
Stern has convinced himself that we are all on board with the cult of personality of Stern. And whatever changes Howard Stern goes through as a human being, people are going to want to hear about it because he's so damn captivating.
Yeah.
But people liked hearing the stories, as you... so eloquently put it, from the everyman who somehow it was no different than you, like Joe the construction worker, bumping elbows with Sharon Stone.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You
right,
know,
yeah.
Like, and now he is what he used to not be a part of.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing is, I was just thinking about it right now. The interviews that he used to do back in the 90s or early 2000s, even, like, it would be with a celebrity who knew of him. And knew, you know, everybody like kind of knew about Stern, but they didn't really like listen to the show, and they didn't really know who they were going to be talking to, and they would kind of be taken aback by his questioning. Whereas now, the people that come in worship Stern. So like, you know, freaking Sharon Osbourne will come in, and she loves Stern, and she talks about how everybody talks about how great he is and how he's the king of all media. That's not how it was 10, 20 years ago. It was, like you said, an everyday man perspective.
He really had great questioning, and it was almost like pathological the way he had to like work in some weird question like, how many times you have sex? You know, like, how many times you crap? Like, to a pretty girl stuff.
He still does that, but it's just not the same because...
It's so forced then.
Yeah, it is, and the people... You gotta, I mean, first of all, the guests that he has in the studio are just like the worst guests ever. It's not even entertaining radio.
This is the impression I got. It's the people who would have been impressed by him like 10 years ago and like who were part of his fame 10 and 15 years ago. It'd be like, we're going to have Carmen Electra and Dave Navarro in. It's like, well, this would have killed back in 01.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, like, I guess his list of guests has not... it hasn't been upgraded since then. You know what I mean? Like, it's still it's people who would have been super entertaining back then, but now it's like nobody wants to hear from freaking Joan Rivers, rest her heart. But you know what I mean? Like, well, he had The Game on. You know The Game, the rapper?
Yeah. The Game. He had the lesbian mom or something. Like, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, every once in a while, dude, like, you know, there are some cool guests, but the majority of the time it's just like, ugh, I can't listen to this dude. I'm not going to do it. Like, it sounds like he's not trying sometimes. I don't know. I mean, it just sucks.
He probably feels he's too good for it at this point, and he's moved on as a person, and that's fine, but, like, stop cashing the checks then, which admittedly is hard as hell. And people who are like, why don't you do that? You work a job you hate for like $40K a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's working a job he hates barely per week, and for he's still like 80 mil a year or yeah. something like that. I mean, like, I would legit do gay porn for 80 mil a year, like as the receiver in
would
all
you?
Ways. For 80 mil?
Yeah, that's a lot
probably,
of money.
Man. Probably. Yeah. Like,
I think it also has to do with the fact that he knows that if he quits. Or if, you know, he says he's going to retire in a year or two, that means that, like, that whole staff that he has a close bond with is out of a job.
That's probably, like, way more of it than we will ever realize.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's, like, you know, that's
where
commendable.
Where do any of them go on to find jobs paying what they get paid currently?
Right. And, I mean, I don't know how... You'll hear them talk about how they don't make very much money, like the Benjis and the J.D. Harmeyers.
The Benji Bronx, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, like what do they do if he says he's calling it quits next year? So, I mean, that definitely probably has a role in why he's staying. But, dude, it's just so depressing because it's like, ugh. Used to be obsessed with this show. Like, this is all I used to listen to.
I got into it right during the O.J. trial. And
oh, nice.
I mean, I like marched around my copy of Miss America through my freshman year of high school, and I would not shut. Like, I would listen on the way to the bus. I'd take my Walkman, just play it for kids in class. I would tape it, play it for people. I was upset. Like, I was as diehard a fan gets. And then by the time he left Terrestrial, and his last 2 years were just a commercial for what he'd do on Sirius, I was done. I was telling you before the show. I actually made the leap to the Sports Junkies, a local DC show, which we're both from the station they were on. So, like, that's no big deal for us, I suppose. But, like, I didn't want to listen to them, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I had Stern.
Yeah.
I had Stern versus, like, four local dudes
yeah.
who just got into radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they've made a career of it. Don't get me wrong. But,
right.
like, this was Stern in his heyday, like, 2 years prior.
Right, yeah.
And I'm now listening to, like... The Sports Junkies.
Yeah, dude, it sucks. But, I mean, we enjoyed the good years of it. And there probably won't be another show like his.
Nothing you know. Will be that unifying. The stuff of our generation that has that sort of audience and that sort of, like, I guess the numbers closest to it are Joe Rogan and the Adam Carolla podcast, those two, and I don't touch either. And, like,
yeah.
I'm the guy, like, in theory, I should be up the ass
mm-hmm.
of both of those shows, and I don't care about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like the, you know, the... I guess every generation has their stars of sports and
what?
Music and...
I think every generation has its media that it cares about, too. Like, I just... A huge radio personality is never really going to happen again, like where he's syndicated and it matters.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
and Guy Talk, I think, was a byproduct of an era that predates the internet when you were so blown away that, like, oh my God, this guy talks about hating his sex life with his wife and, like, he isn't public, you know, he's saying his kids are a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you just go on a forum.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone
is like a little Stern unto themselves now, like on Facebook. It's like, here's my seamy side.
I still will, you know, talk about the show with people and, like you said, judge them if they don't like the show or use it as a nice barometer.
I wouldn't judge them for not liking it now.
Well,
like, now I'm like, okay, you understand comedy.
I remember I talked to this, like, girl who she was asking me, like, I don't know. We got on the topic of Stern, and she was judging the crap out of me because I like listening to Howard Stern. And
like just because he was Stern, period, or because it was Stern now? Because
just period. Just
oh, then
in general.
Hell with her.
And I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Like,
yeah.
You don't get me. Like, we're not on the same same level here. Like,
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think that sort of thing has an ounce of appeal to my girlfriend, but I keep it superficial as hell with her.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, yeah, dude. Like, I'm not saying that you have to love the show, but when somebody is, like, anti the show, to me, it says you're stuck up. Like, you take
I'm
life.
So afraid to ask that of my chick because, like, she fancies herself a feminist.
Oh, no.
Which really just means, like, I can't smack her around in bed, which You know, so
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it really sucks. Like, I can't screw the way I like to screw, so I'm just like, let me pull out my limp worm and watch Netflix with you.
But if you went to somebody, you know, you just met them, and you guys are just talking, just small talk,
yeah,
and Stern comes up, and they're like, oh, God, I can't stand Stern. What would you think about that person? Like,
again, if they were like, I used to love him, but now he sucks, I'd be like, you have discerning tastes. And if they're like, I always hated him,
yeah,
I'd think they probably wouldn't like much that was going to come out of my mouth.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. It's like you don't really have much for them then.
No, because yeah. that is my appeal in a nutshell. Like, if I ever have to sell this show, like, the few times I've had to, like, write up a description, I'm like, I try to save everyone's time. I'm like, do you like Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern? If so, you will enjoy this show.
I remember one time I was on a flight by myself, and I happened to be sitting next to this random girl, mm-hmm. and I was watching a movie on my laptop, and Life of Pi, and I know.
Never see it.
I'm a huge dork.
I just know it as the and stupid tiger.
She kept glancing, right? And so, mm-hmm. like, I took my, the movie was over, I shut my laptop off, and she, like, started asking me questions about the movie.
Oh, I thought stuff. You were going to say you shut it and went, how did you like the free movie, bitch?
And we're talking, right? And, she, you know, she's cool, she's friendly, and, you know, just whatever. You know, sometimes you're forced to have a conversation with somebody you're sitting right next to for hours. But I was like, so what brings you to, Texas or something? And she told me, and then she told me that she had, like, this religious educational background. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, how did you end up at that school? Are your folks? And she was like, oh, well, you know, I just, I fell in love with Jesus Christ a couple years ago.
No wonder she's chatty.
She went on for like 3-4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, let's cut this off. Like, let's stop talking here. Like, my questions ceased at that point. I was like, I don't know if.
What a bait and switch.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing she's at least kind of cute, right?
She was decent looking. Yeah. But I mean, I was just trying to be friendly, and then I was like, I don't want to talk about
Isn't
Jesus
it like
Christ
such
right
false
now.
Pretense crap? Like, you think it's like human friendliness, like they're just being okay as a person,
and then
instead
they just throw that Bible at you.
Oh, God, they throw the J gauntlet down. Yeah.
But I that feeling right there is probably the same feeling I get when someone's like, oh, I can't stand Stern. He's a disgusting
down.
Human being. I'm like, well, we got nothing in common then.
Yeah, you know? This is not going to work.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is where I should have had the outline open so we could have seamlessly segued into what we're going
it's
to
all
do
good,
next.
Man.
Let me look. We were talking actually the interview as well before the show. I didn't know if we were going to make a segment of this or not. Sorry, that last thing was like a half hour that would have weeded out anyone who's just not hardcore. Into radio. No, I don't care. Like, I was just happy to have a conversation I gave a crap about.
I mean, I could go on. Like, I feel like we could talk about that for hours, but.
No, I was obsessed with the Stern show. Like, I just, I can't. The E show, I'm trying to remember. They used to have a really tanned porn star in, and she had like a French last name. And she used to bang Dave Lombardo, the drummer for Slayer. Two Slayer mentions, one show. God damn, I was in love with her. She looked like so exotic, man. It just takes me back that like all these chicks are now out of the industry or like just turning tricks.
I'm trying to look it up. I can't find it. But whatever. I mean, we don't have to.
Well, no. I want to look up porn star dated Dave Lombardo.
I mean, tan porn star French last name is kind of a broad group of.
It's like something St. Clair, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, wait. That does sound familiar.
I don't know. Yeah. St. Croix. I don't know. What the hell. Whatever. All right. So the interview, for those of you that have Netflix, the interview has already been put.
Jasmine St. Clair.
Jasmine St. Clair. There you go. Do you want to just look at pictures of her for the rest of the show? I do. I definitely do. That's one of those things where like you bring her up and it's like I want you to know that in the back of my head for the rest of the time you see me today, there's a little yellow post-it saying go home and masturbate to pictures of Jasmine St. Clair.
Dude, this is taking me back. Man.
I know, right?
That's wild. Yeah.
Hold on.
Anyways.
Yeah. I want to look so bad and I can't. So the interview, it's on Netflix now. For those that don't remember, we talked about it, last month was the Sony hack?
Yeah, sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was, like, right before Christmas, because it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Exactly.
It's about killing a dictator. And it's out on Netflix, and I gave it a whirl, which I probably wouldn't have done, which I definitely didn't do, if you had to pay for it. In fact, like, a buddy of mine bought it.
Yeah,
and
me.
I was like, two buddies then.
Like a huge idiot.
Yeah, exactly. He coughed up, and I was like, it'll be on HBO soon enough. And then, like, Netflix just ninja'd it in there, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they made no, there was no fanfare. I turned on Netflix one day, and there's just the picture of the interview. I'm like, are you kidding me? Sure.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this 3 weeks ago. This is awesome.
Do you think you would have watched it if it wasn't right there on Netflix? Like, did you have that inkling in the back of your mind to watch it?
Okay, Christmas Day, when they were like, we're going to release this via all video streaming services, except for Apple, because Apple's on the edge like that, bastards. So I had to, like, wheel out the Xbox and hook it up to the family TV. And then my brother, who in theory wanted to watch it, just, like, watched his usual lockup shows on MSNBC and Pawn Stars with his girlfriend. Like, I love my brother, but this is all he does.
Dude, lockup's awesome, man.
Like, yeah, he'll come over once a week with his chick after one of her shifts and just, like, provide commentary on how he's smarter than everyone on Pawn Stars or lockup. And I'm like, way to shoot for the stars, brother.
Dude,
mine.
Did you see the Fairfax County lockup?
Yes, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
I saw half of one of them.
It was, I mean, no, it was longer than 2 weeks ago.
What?
Weeks ago.
I thought it was like within the last month.
They may be playing like replays or whatever.
Okay.
But
because I could swear that was the one we kind of watched instead of the interview. Like, it was that during Christmas
was
break.
Were you guys like entertained by it? It was.
I watched like 5 minutes. Like, yeah. That stuff just doesn't speak to me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't you want to know about life behind bars, man?
Yeah, I get it. It's the same for pretty much everyone. It's like join a race-based gang and show no weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't get enough of it. I'm with your brother.
Really? Yeah. For whatever reason, that is just not my compulsive viewing of choice. Like,
right.
I like to think that me dodging my life in reality, I at least do it with like artsier shows. Like, right now I'm rewatching all the old Twilight Zones in black and white.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're good.
Awesome. But anyways, the interview, I'm so ashamed and humiliated to admit the fact that I spent, I don't know, like $10 on it.
That much?
Something like that. Either like five or ten.
I thought it was like five-ish, yeah.
I don't remember. I can't remember if I like rented it or bought it or whatever. But I wanted to fight the urge, you know, I was feeling inside to watch it. And especially because everybody who had seen it before and told me about it said, don't watch it. It's a waste of time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll just say right now, I really enjoyed it. Like,
no, man.
I walked away from that thinking, like, Sony got screwed hard. I was like, that would have been a hit. There's so many, like, catchphrases coming out, like, honey dicking.
Yeah. Dude, let me ask, did you check out the reviews online before
I did
you
not,
watched it?
I did not read a single review. I went in expecting crap because... not to sound like I just hate every Jewish entertainer there is. Seth Rogen, not my cup of tea.
You don't like Seth Rogen?
No, and it's like he's one of those guys that like you have to be such a piece of S to not like.
Yeah.
Like he seems so likable
and
like so just genuine, and it takes a lot out of me to be like, I just resent your success because like I think I could have been you.
Between him and James Franco, who do you like?
I mean, I guess him, because James Franco, like, chicks are way too into.
Dude.
Like, no chick is like, oh, I'm so into Seth Rogen. And if they are, it's because he's funny, not because they're like, get your fat tits against my tits. But, like, James Franco, I've said this before. I think I've at least typed it for something. I was like, I've been with girls who would rather eat his ass than kiss me on the lips. And, I mean, that's like every chick.
Oh, yeah, dude. So you don't like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
You are annoyed by James Franco.
I resent him even more.
You resent James Franco. And you like this movie?
Yeah.
How does that, that doesn't add up. Like, how do you come to that conclusion?
I mean, this isn't like 1954 where, like, I care about the stars of the picture. You know, if it's a good movie,
no, but
if it's written well.
If a movie is, you know, I feel like it was based on, well, first of all, James Franco, for whatever reason, was the comedic actor in that movie. Like, he had all the funny lines. Seth Rogen was like the more serious dude. So the whole movie was basically driven by James Franco's personality, his character, and him, in my opinion, trying to be funny when he's not really a comedic actor.
Oh, see, I very much differ with you. I thought he was great as a comedic actor.
You did?
I have a weird belief.
Dude, I think you like James Franco.
I just resent him because, like, out of every star in our generation, it's like him and Ryan Gosling, where girls, like, out of nowhere, it'll be like, do you know what the weather is today? I'd really like to blow them. You're like, wow, that came out of nowhere. All right. Those two, it's like just open season on wanting to, like, it's like to be more dude-like. You say you loved Stern in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like to be more chick-like, they have to be like, those two could just pump a load in me.
And Channing Tatum.
I don't get it as much. Like, or hear it. I don't get me wrong. I get that a lot more. He's a charmer, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's funny, too.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got the moves. I saw that Magic Mike.
Saw that movie?
Oh, I definitely did.
Why?
It was on HBO. And
still?
I watched pretty much it. Like, it started... Well, okay. That was, like, their Saturday night movie one time.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, eh, whatever. And I'm not moving.
Damn.
And, like, in the first 5 minutes, it has Olivia Munn topless.
Oh, really?
And, like, that was unnecessary and awesome. And then, like, there's a... In the same party scene... they're all taking drugs, and then they wake up the next day, and there's like a little potbelly pig just licking a puddle of puke that came out of one of them. I'm like, this is a hardcore movie.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And it's like,
crazy.
You know, it's a real movie. You're not going to see dick.
Yeah.
What, I'll see some guy's abs? Whatever. It's like True Blood. I'll tough it out.
I don't know, dude. It's kind of like...
And who's the director? The director is like a decent dude. Steven Soderbergh, I think, directed that?
Something like that.
I mean, yeah, like a real director.
I don't want to find out if it's a good movie or not.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I swear to Christ.
But you like The Interview, so.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a dunce.
I know what you're saying, and it was like a unique story, and there were funny lines here and there. I don't know. To me, it felt like it was lazily written and. There were things that were just way over the top that were completely unnecessary.
You're a big hip hop guy. You did not like the Eminem cameo at the beginning.
Oh no, that was cool when he said I'm gay. Yeah, that was hilarious.
I'm gay.
That
it's
was
like so Hector's funny. Rectum, you know.
Yeah, dude, that was amazing. But that was like the hook. Like that was the funny, in my opinion, one of the funniest things that happened in the movie, and it was right at the beginning. You know what I mean? Like sometimes
I thought
they
the
do
first
that.
25 to 30 minutes killed.
Okay.
And I liked the pace of the direction. Like, I don't know, I'm reading up on screenwriting now, and, like, it clipped along, man.
Cool.
And then I'm not saying, like, the laughs abated a little bit, but that's almost every comedy. Like, it's really hard to keep it going.
Right. Well, so, maybe you have an appreciation for, like, now that you're looking into screenwriting and stuff like that.
Now that I've read the first 30 pages of story.
No, but, you know, like, if you're a professional chef, you go to, like, some foreign country and try one of their street vendors, like, you know, boiled snail.
Oh.
You're going to be like, oh my God, like the broth
textures.
And this. Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing more magical to me than someone who tastes a sip of whiskey and they're like, is there a hint of sandalwood I'm detecting? And he's like, yes.
I want to be you.
Yeah. And I'm like, it tastes like burning and I want to drink it mixed with Kool-Aid so I can get effed up. How's that?
Yeah. But I don't think that, I mean, I don't think it was well received, that movie. Maybe
what is it
of,
on Rotten Tomatoes? What's
I think
it packing?
It's like 50%.
No kidding.
Yeah.
God, it's weird to me it got blasted because, like, I enjoyed the acting.
Yeah, 52%.
Going back to the acting, here, and I was saying I had a weird theory, and then we just, like, talked about BS for 10 minutes. Yeah. I believe that, like, genuinely funny people, like, just funny day to day, I don't think they make, like, the best. Sit down, I'm a comedic actor type. Like, I actually like serious actors doing comedic roles because it lets the writer just speak through them. Like, a great example, I watched way more than I should have, Anchorman 2. Once it came on Netflix, I was just like alternating the regular cut, the long cut. I was like, I hate this, but I cannot stop watching it. And you know who I thought was the funniest effer in all of it?
Who?
Cyclops, James Marsden. I think his name is.
Who's that?
James? Hold on. Let me look up, too. I'm going to confirm.
Oh, yeah, that Dreamboat.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was funny.
He was great in it, and he's a serious actor, but unlike every other asshole there who's like, I'm going to improvise literally everything, he's like, I'm not funny. Give me something funny to say. And you know what? Because people took the time to think about what he said and then he could get into the character,
yeah,
he sold it. Whereas, yeah, like, Ron Burgundy's just goddamn Will Ferrell in a wig saying dumb stuff.
So it's sort of like, you know, and I'm going to do what I always do, which is bring it back to hip hop because I wish I was black. It's sort of like if a bunch of rappers, right, got on to a stage, went onto a stage, and they were going to do like a freestyle exhibition, and then John Papa Giorgio had recited the same 16 bar, the same rap, the same little verse in his head for 2 years prior to this night. You go on stage, they do the little freestyles or whatever. They have decent lines here and there. Even though they're better rappers, you go up there and you slay.
I destroy the cipher, my man.
Exactly, exactly. Because you had been working on the same material.
Yeah.
Over
it just hadn't been public, but it was
because you weren't confident in your freestyling abilities.
Exactly.
Okay, so James Marsden is you. You're James
Marsden.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay.
No, I actually think I'm like the funny guy who doesn't put out a good product, but face to face, I'm somewhat funny.
No, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of times these like asshole characters, are pretty funny in movies like this because, you know, they deliver.
I'm just a sucker, for guys that actually get into their role.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a character. And that's one thing I walked away from because I also saw James Franco in Palo Alto, which like my chick downloaded and she's like, I got this for us. I'm like, you did not get this movie for us.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. So I watch it and he's like this kid toucher gym teacher. But it's like a serious role. And then I see him in this and I'm like, oh, he's playing like an actual different person where like I see Seth Rogen in anything and it's like, you know, on the dial from 1 to 10, how much Seth Rogen are we getting? But that's all he can do. He can ratchet himself down and he can amplify himself. But you've never seen Seth Rogen and you're like, who is this young man? He's lost in the role.
That's
it's
true.
Just Seth Rogen.
That's true. Yeah, that's a really good point.
And it was like same with the Anders guy or whatever, that Hitler youth from Workaholics, who's in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And he just plays an asshole. Because that guy's probably like, that's him. He's just this...
You like Anders?
Asshole.
I love Anders.
I mean,
well, actually, I don't love him, but I love Workaholics.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoy Workaholics well enough, but there, if you want to hear a great clip, it was right before Patrice O'Neill went into his coma and died.
Mm.
He was on the red carpet for some roast or another for Comedy Central, and Anders was doing his like hipster comedian shtick where he's like, I'm kind of here with Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
And Patrice lays into him.
Really?
He's like, what you mean kinda? You know, like,
I gotta look that up, man.
Oh, he just went off on him.
Well, I mean, he's not the funny guy of the show. Like that Adam Devine guy is the funny dude
of
the show.
Squat dude.
Yeah, he's like their Justin Timberlake to their NSYNC.
Oh.
Like, that guy's done stand up for years. Like
do the other two do?
I think all three of them were like boys. And if you actually look it up...
Get big, goddammit. I've been a good friend to you. Get noticed so I can ride your coattails.
If you look it up, man, it's actually kind of cool. Like, look up their YouTube channel. You can see stuff from, like, 10 years ago that they were doing when they were nobodies in L.A., just little skits, you know, trying to build something. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool to see, you know, the beginning of what is now the Workaholics
show. It's real
cool
seeing, like, people doing what I did except making it. I live at home and eat couscous out of a pot that's stripped of its Teflon, so the little black crap gets stuck on the back of my tongue all the time. Didn't do that too.
I was
going to
say, it doesn't sound that bad, but it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord knows what's going on with my liver because of that.
So you like the interview. I hate it.
Yeah, man. And I think what also I walked away from when watching it, the Asian guy, who he plays Danny Chung on Veep, and he's Kim Jong-un.
That guy was awesome.
Loved him, and he'll never go anywhere because he's Asian.
Huh.
That is what hit me.
Wait, what do you mean he's not going to go anywhere
because
he's Asian?
Because Hollywood, as much as like black people and the NAACP, not black people in general, just the NAACP, can bitch about a lack of representation in Hollywood. I swear to God, seeing an Asian, you're not even seeing, like, you'll see American Indians more than you'll see Asians. I mean, good Lord, you do not see Asians unless they can chop.
Yeah.
You know, like, unless they can throw a punch. When is the last time you saw that many Asians on screen, man? I thought I was watching, like, Enter the Dragon.
I'm trying to think of a character or an actor who's Asian who... Yeah, I mean, just, you know, Harold from Harold and Kumar.
Dude, I was going to say, in comedy, even Indian dudes have surpassed.
Nah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Harold from, or no, I guess it'd be Kumar.
Cal Penn?
Yeah, there's Cal Penn.
Not racist.
Yeah. There is, who's the guy from Parks and Recreation who loves hip-hop like you?
Ah, whatever, dude. He's, nah, come on.
He's a megastar. Aziz Ansari.
Dude, no, he's a megastar stand-up comic.
Yes, but
he's not in any movies killing it. Dude, Russell Peters is like the highest earning stand-up comedian like for years.
All right, then let's say
stand-up
too.
And he'll go on radio shows and be like, "Dude, Hollywood for whatever reason won't put me in any of the movies." He says they only give him like these stereotypical Indian dude roles, and he refuses. He's like, no,
good for him,
too,
because
successful.
Cal Penn, anytime, like early in Cal Penn's career, when I heard him having to talk like this, yeah. I was like, you are a disgrace to your ancestors.
Sell out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you might as well be wearing blackface.
Yeah. He's got a lot of roles like that, too. I remember he was in Van Wilder. I think he may have been in How High.
What was the Jamie Kennedy movie? About
Malibu's Most Wanted.
He was in that, I believe.
It's a really good movie, by the way.
Oh, my brother loves it. That was one of the great, wasn't that like Terry Crews at the end when they're talking about dads?
Yeah.
Man, I gotta give that nigga a call.
Dude,
we
that movie
just say that around the house
is
nonstop.
Incredibly underrated. Like, it's got some funny lines
in it. I don't dislike it.
Taye Diggs, by the way, in that movie is so funny. That dude is a great actor.
He is. He can be funny because he's an actor.
Yeah, right.
And he's not sitting there like, by the pussy hairs of Osiris. You know, like, we get it.
No, but yeah, I mean, Russell Peters, he talks about it all the time, how it's insane to think about, too, that this dude will go anywhere, any city in the world and sell out crowds, and he can't get a movie. I DVR'd this movie. It was called, it was like a hockey movie about Indian people. And the only reason I DVR'd it is because Russell Peters
was
like
in it. Sounds like something Disney made.
And yeah, the only reason I DVR'd it is because I wanted to see him act.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was funny in it, but I watched it and it was like terrible production, just not even worth being on TV. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, like, this is so sad. This dude is like done
talented
everything he
belief.
Can.
Yeah.
And Hollywood refuses to acknowledge him. It's mind blowing.
No, it kills me that Hollywood to this day, it's like, all right, here's diversity. You get to be the zany friend. Like, when did NBC ever just put a ton of cash, or any network really, into like, just, hey, this is a show with an S ton of black people, but it ain't going to be like strictly a black show. Like, what is it?
Yeah.
Empire, I guess.
Oh, that's like it's about a record label or something.
Yeah, the closest thing I've seen in years to that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's a ton of black people in almost all the roles, but we're not just like saying it's for blacks only.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
some crap. Like, stuff's gotten like more racist with time. I think like because everything's so demo driven.
Yeah.
Like, you know how we used to radio, we're obsessed with radio. We talk about that. And like back in the day, it was just like we had WJFK, our talk station in the area, and Don and Mike would just come on and like talk about whatever. And sometimes they're like, we're going to try to get like the chick demo this quarter. And like they would court whatever the hell they wanted. They're like, yeah, we appeal to guys, but like maybe we want black listeners this time around.
Right.
And like they were allowed to take a stab at it. And it's like 15 years later, we're on The Fan. And it's like The Fan is just geared toward male listeners 25 to 34 or 25 to 54. Like black and white, you know, black and white male. And it was also calculated because sports, much more than guy talk, will appeal to black listeners as well.
Yeah.
And like they've just dissected everything to that point. And like
I know.
Hollywood's so paralyzed, it's like, we do not know the appeal of like an Indian guy, or he might cost us like $5 million compared to the nice white Jewish guy.
Not only that, I think they're afraid to get like specific with their their intentions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they don't want people to even think that they're making a movie that is catered to a specific race or group of people, because they might get called out for it, and it's also gonna exclude other people, and it's too much trouble.
Harold and Kumar, which you brought up earlier, that's why that was like mind blowing to me for a time. Although I guess it was kind of like Cheech and Chong esque. It's the same thing where it's like a non-white, if you will, comedic team. And like people love it. Like no one gives a crap that they're non-white. Like,
that's true.
Has anyone ever seen Harold and Kumar and been like, you know what would have been so much better? A lot less Asian.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, man.
It doesn't even cross your damn mind watching those films. And it's so depressing to this day.
Yeah, I mean, because those are the best roles they'll ever have in their entire careers.
Absolutely. I think Kumar is like with the Prez now,
yeah,
isn't
he?
Yeah, like he's out
Obama,
of acting.
Which is in weird and, you know.
And he's gay in real life, so like God
is he really?
Pretty well known. Oh, Kumar, yeah.
For real, his parents must be so pissed.
Oh, yeah. he might as well just behead a cow in front of him. They're not getting angrier.
I mean, every once in a while, there'll be an Indian movie or whatever, a movie that is like based in India that, you know, stars a strictly Indian cast who really has no future or chance in Hollywood outside of that movie. Like,
oh, like outsourced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Slumdog Millionaire or Life of Pi.
Oh, they broke up. So sad.
I heard about that. But yeah, man, those movies are like, oh, this is for all you liberals out there who have that white guilt and want to...
Yeah, exactly. Swage it.
Yeah. And,
act cultured because you saw this, honky.
Exactly, exactly. And learn about some Indian phrases and take them home with you and show that you respect people of all creed and
the
color.
Only thing I walked away from Slumdog with was the ability to go, Slumdog.
Yeah.
He just says it one time like that, and that's all I could do. Yeah. Like an autistic, I was just, Slumdog.
I think I said Chaiwala for like 18 months.
Yeah.
Chaiwala. But yeah, there are movies every once in a while that's like based on a race, but it's a beautiful story, so it's okay. But you'll never see these people again, we promise.
Yeah, it's just this little slice of life. And yeah, they get that one role where it's like Frida Pinto was a name for 2 years.
Wait, who?
Exactly, the chick from Slumdog.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just gone. By the way, why is an Indian named Pinto? That's like the most Mexican name ever.
That is weird.
Like if I met Steven Baklava.
Wait, Frida's not a
And he's like, I'm
Indian
Brazilian.
Named.
I'd be like, what the hell?
What's going on here? Yeah, that's... I mean, I feel like they do that a lot, though. Like every once in a while, there's somebody who's like the most famous person in the world, and they don't really fit into the stereotypical Hollywood scene that everybody expects. Like, what's the chick from Precious? What's her name?
Oh, God, Gabby Sidibe.
Dude, she was like the most famous actress for like a year and a half.
4 to 6 months, yeah. No,
and
you're right. Maybe a year.
Now she just has cameos in American Horror Story every once in a while.
Yes.
And we never see
her again.
She was
in that Eddie Murphy Tower Heist.
Really?
Yeah, and she did a really crappy Jamaican accent.
Nice. Yeah, but I mean, we'll never see her again. Not on the big screen.
No, her next act has to be, I got the lipo, I got the tummy tuck, and now like I look smaller, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
And then she'll get big again like Carney Wilson did.
Remember when they were like talking about how she was the most beautiful person in the world because
they
felt guilty because she's fat and
that's a really weird thing actually that's going on. I sent my friend who's like really obsessed with chicks being thin. I sent him a link.
What do you mean?
To,
like he hates fat chicks?
He really hates them.
Really?
Really? Like crusades.
That's hilarious.
And
I've
like my first chick was pretty fat, and like he met her, and you knew just looking in his eyes, like if he could have killed her and been like, never do this to me again.
Jesus.
He would have done it. But there is a chick. Her name is Tess Holliday.
Uh-huh.
Her real name, rather sadly, unfortunately, shall we say, is Tess Munster.
Okay.
But Tess Holliday is a size 22 model.
What?
And you can look her up. She's pretty much...
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Dude.
You want to like give... You would take like no hands head from it if she wore like a hair cuttery bib. Because he'd be like, I'm going to pretend that that's all bib and not you underneath.
Dude, why is her head so skinny and her body?
It's the worst thing ever.
Right? Like, she doesn't even have, she has like a really pretty face and no double chin or
she's
anything like that.
She's a great face. She would have owned MySpace, dude. Would have owned it. She would have been the queen of MySpace.
What kind of model is she? Because she's like sort of naked in some of these.
I saw her in like, I don't know, I looked at like one BuzzFeed article about her and she's just in like bras and panties and crap.
Dude, this is blowing my mind. Like, I can't.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, we don't.
Because like, there are some shots of her, like just her neck up, and she's like, looks like a, this is crazy.
She looks,
she's morbidly obese, dude. But she
hugely so.
Wow, that's wild.
And again, she's just like, she goes on about like beauty standards and how it's like not fair. It's like, to me, this is going to sound weird. Like, at a certain point, it's just purely a health thing.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, why do you like feel the need? That's not a side effect of a healthy lifestyle. Like, it can't be unless you have some weird damn disease.
Yeah, dude.
That like, I don't know, exists. But to be like, I'm cool with it and call me beautiful. Like, when did that, like, is it going to just come to a point where you're like, call me smart? It's yeah. Like, but you failed every standardized test. Call me smart. F your smart standards. Like, she has the F your beauty standards little hashtag.
That's hilarious.
Like, we're just coming to a point in an age where it's like, this is how I see it, and this is what I want it to be, so that's how it is.
And if you disagree,
you're horrible.
Yeah, you're wrong. That's funny, because last night I was watching this show. I wasn't watching it, but my lady was making me watch it.
My lady, M apostrophe.
My Big Fat Fabulous Life on TLC.
I saw ads for that during 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah.
Dude, it is... First of all...
Of course, the requisite exercise shot of her. Yeah. To be like, you see, she tries.
Well, dude, she like runs exercise class. Like she... Yeah, she's like the instructor in it. And she said that the only reason she's big is because people don't know about her thyroid, ovarian, blah, 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 cysts
there's
or whatever.
Pills for that crap, I thought. Get your parts yanked.
Yeah, dude, yeah. She was, I mean, I don't want to be mean about this because, you know, whatever. If somebody wants to be
fat,
like...
I'm a disgusting slob and, like, I have real problems losing it too.
Yeah.
So, like, there but for the grace of God.
It's a bad, like, it's like, I don't want to say it's bad for chicks to watch this show, but it's like... If Intervention was on TV and the person who was addicted to whatever they're addicted to was just, you know, kind of, I guess, on camera and openly okay with the fact that they were doing drugs and everybody in their family was okay with it and they weren't allowed to say anything about
that. That's how I see it too.
Right? Like, it's a problem that they are... probably going to have our heart issues pretty soon
yeah,
because
like,
of the way they
okay,
eat.
Okay, as much as everything I've ever put out there runs contrary to what I'm about to say, I don't want people to feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
But it's like, at the same time, it's like where's the line drawn? Like some guy who's really into touching kids. It's like at some point you have to be like, that's really bad.
Yeah.
You need to stop that. Yeah, you need to go to jail. Like,
I don't want
to
be too offensive here.
I don't
take this the wrong way.
Yeah, but you can't blow those kids anymore.
Yeah, you got to stop, all right? Dude, I watched True Life the other day.
Uh-huh.
Remember that show? And I think it was like an old one. I don't think they made
it anymore. MTV's True Life.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. What was it?
It was something about like my significant other wants me to lose weight or whatever. And I felt so bad for this dude, man. This couple out in like Memphis, Tennessee, and this dude, this black dude, is like dating this other this black chick, and she had gone from like chubby, kind of, you know, kind of big, to not being able to walk throughout the span of their relationship.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, dude. So, you know, when they first start dating, he's like, you know, it's cool. He's just dating like kind of a big chick.
Oh, he's into the thickness.
But yeah. By the time the show is filming, he has to help her, like, you know. Go to the bathroom and help her,
yeah.
You know, things like that. And she was like straight up like heartbroken when he even hinted at the fact that it was a big problem in their relationship. And it could be the reason that he leaves her. She was like, how could you do this? Blah, blah, blah. We've been through so much. He's like, yeah. Well, I'm not your nurse. Like, I didn't sign up for this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are like a ton of people who are in that same situation who are not, you know, that's kind of an extreme situation, but something similar to that where it's becoming an issue of their health and you're still not allowed to, like, you're not even allowed to broach
subject. No, dude, it's started, like, I snore and crap now because of my weight, and it's like, I want nothing more than someone to be like, hey, fat slob, put down the donut.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't help.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably still eat the donut if someone told
me. No, I'd eat it and feel bad, but, I'd know they cared.
Yeah. And I wouldn't allow myself to ignore the facts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, if you can't walk, like, you got to do something about that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
It's weird what we turn a blind eye to.
Yeah.
I live with a woman who has a hoarding problem. Let's call her my mom. It's not like a horrible, horrible problem. Like, it's not like dead cat hoarding.
Yeah.
But, like, there's way too much crap piled up around the house.
Like trash or like...
Not trash, but it's like, first of all, I don't want to sound like Fahrenheit 451 here, but there's bookshelves after bookshelves after bookshelves on every wall in the house, more or less, with every book we've ever used. Like, crap we read in second grade.
Wow.
Like, this should be just given away to a poor kid.
Yeah.
Who will then be like, what's this? Give me my iPad. But it needs to go. A lot of, like, packaging, you know, like, things that are shipped, the packages get saved. Hmm. Any sort of paperwork, which my business generates a lot of, none of it's put anywhere appropriately. Like, her clothing in her room, it looks like a bomb went off.
Oh, no.
And I'm not kidding, dude. I'll be working on, like, my blue-collar crap at home, and I will take the rest of my tools back to the car, and I'll leave, like, a wrench out. And within 10 minutes, it's like, what's going on with the wrench? When is this wrench getting taken care of?
Really?
A wrench in this sea of crap.
Is it just because it's you?
Because it's me. Huh. She cannot see her own issues whatsoever. But if I generate 1/1,000th of the refuse in the house, like, I'll get a package from Amazon, which, by the way, not using them anymore. That's a show for another day.
Okay.
Amazon is the damn devil.
All right.
I can leave, like, a 4x4 box, inches.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, can we discard this box?
Your fleshlight came in.
Exactly. Yeah, one that fits. And, it blows my mind. Like, there's package after package after package from her, just stacked, like a horrible, like, you know, the day after Christmas type thing. And that she's fine with that.
But it's organized in her mind.
I guess, like, yeah, you know what? It's organized. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really, God, you have spent a lot of time with women.
Wait, so are you allowed to be like, hey, mom, what's going on with this freaking
I mean, I am, you know, if I want to be told to shut up, pretty much, or
really?
Just ignored. Yeah.
Okay.
Really just ignoring.
Really?
And that's the same thing with the fat folks. It's like, I'm sure had her man socked something on, she'd be like, you're getting a little soft.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
And, like, she has 150 excess pounds tagged on. I mean, what do they say in the Bible? It's easier to see a sty in the eye of another than a board in her own, or something like that.
Was that from the Bible?
I believe so.
You read the Bible?
No, I just know, like, quotes that DMX used.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds about right. I'm actually, like, I wish you could spend more time on your mom's hoarding. Like, I'm fascinated by that.
Oh, go for it, man. This is already,
like,
over an hour.
What
Let's
if,
just go for
does
break.
She, do you and her, like, ever sit down and watch TV together?
Not especially. Once in a blue moon.
I was just curious.
Made her watch the interview.
How it would go if you were to, like, happen to put on an episode of Hoarders while she's sitting
there
next to
you. Oh, you think I haven't tried that? Oh, please.
That's not me.
Oh, like, yeah. You're as subtle as the man who puts on, like, threesome porn with his chick in the room. It's just like, Yeah.
That's crazy,
oh, she's like,
dude.
Oh, they're much worse than me.
That's nuts, man.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice that you're happy with being an 8 compared to their 10.
So what would happen if you were like, hey, hope you don't mind, mom, but I grabbed all my books from second grade and I put them
I've taken like 200 books at a time, not exaggerating, and taken them like to the used bookstore, and it'll go like 2 weeks. She won't notice anything. That's how packed it is. And then, like, I can't help myself. I'm like, you know, I discarded like 200 books, right?
Really?
And then she'll lose her mind.
Oh, no.
And I'll just make fun of it. I'll be like, cool, name one of them. And I owe you. Name one of them, and I'll get them all back.
That's crazy.
And then she's just screaming at
Does
me.
Does she have, like, old newspapers and stuff?
I mean, not in, like, a nutty way. Like, occasionally, like, a Princess Died newspaper.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, 5 of those or something.
Yeah.
A lot of old magazines.
So what if you were, like, to, little by little, like, empty out the spot? Like,
it'd just be refilled. I mean, like,
right.
A lot of times I've cleaned crap out, and she'll MF me to my face about it. Then she kind of enjoys it, and then it just gets refilled.
Damn.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
Dude, it's just a psychological illness. Like, she describes it as being tight and cozy. She'll never describe her own situation as that, but anytime, like, any of our pets would jam itself into a bunch of junk, she'd never be like, oh my god, that thing's about to die if this crap tips over. She'd be like, look how safe and cozy it looks. I'm like, wow,
he's
that's
so
a,
warm right now.
I understand everything how you sculpt your life now.
Damn. So has it always been like that, or?
They get really bad with age, and especially once the husband dies. And it's a depression coping thing. So like once my dad died, crazy train off the rails, man.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, just went with it.
No, I don't mean, you know, it's got to be a pretty traumatic thing. You got to deal with it somehow, but.
Yeah. Or just live the rest of your life mourning, like one of those old Mediterranean and Muslim women who just put on black. That's their existence.
Damn, that's crazy, man. Like, it's almost like the frustrating thing is you watch those shows, you know, the hoarder shows, and you see, like, what a huge deal it is and how serious it is and all the different steps you have to take and things you have to go through to get them to cure them, to get them to stop doing what they're doing.
Dude, it has the recidivism rate of like pedophilia.
Well, I don't know what's recidivism. Oh, yeah. What is that? Come
That's
on, dude.
The one I'm thing I Morocco. Learned from my psych major. Recidivism is falling, going back.
Okay.
So like kid touchers, the recidivism rate's like 95% because it's just what their dick is wired to like.
Yeah.
It's like telling you can't like the women of Scoreland. And you'd be like, you can try, buddy.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you want to waste my time? Yeah, Scarface style. Won't waste my time? Go ahead.
Yeah, so she's like, that's just who she is. That's just what she's going to do.
She can act like it'll get better. I think it will, like, once she stops working to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just obviously like coping with both a job she hates and she's old as hell and shouldn't be working, but she sucks with money, so she's working.
Oh, damn.
And then just still my dad died, right? What, Christ, 14 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And you know, just never getting over that. So I think like if you take the bad job out of it and she can just live like an adult kid, like going to bed at 3, waking up at 11, watching Netflix, like she might get lighter about it. You know, like hopefully
you get bored and like
You get bored. Like, maybe I will clean this crap.
Yeah.
Maybe he was right.
Right. Let's give it a shot.
My blessed darling boy.
So would you say that it's like, okay, because there's a difference between dirty and clutter. You know what I mean?
Clutter.
Like, okay, cool.
It's so it's not like I move stuff and there's earthworms.
All right, cool.
Oh no. Like I'd burn it down.
Right. Yeah.
And just be like, we're starting fresh, lady.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I mean. I wouldn't be able to deal with that. That's
clutter. Get me wrong. Clutter drives me nuts. Like the times in my life where I've been a big boy and exited mommy's house, like I live like a monk. Like I just have a bed and a desk and like it might have a couple books and a couple papers on it, but it's like, oh, a chick's coming over 30 seconds and the room is spotless.
Let me move this wrench.
Exactly. Yeah. My wrench, the big one.
Yeah. That's. I don't blame you, man. That would drive me crazy.
It's horrible.
Especially if, like...
It's a small house to begin with, too.
Because everyone has things that they, you know, they can't really... That their parents do or whatever, that they can't get them to stop doing that just drives them crazy. You know, my mom overreacts and screams at me sometimes. And I've learned in my, you know, I think when I was 23 or 24, I learned that the best way to handle it is to just not really give her the reaction she's
not
looking
don't
for.
Engage.
But she's still like, you know what I mean? She still does it and it drives me crazy, but I just know that like, okay, that's just who she is. That's just how she's going to be. Like I just got to accept
There are so many things she does now. I react like I heard nothing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I just keep walking past my ear doesn't even move at this point.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's kind of a bigger issue if it's affecting the way you live.
Oh, yeah, dude, the house is completely uninhabitable for me. I stay there because it's free rent, and she's into me for a lot of money per month.
Oh.
So in essence, it's like I fund her lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's just laziness. But the only reason I really draw the line is because the fridge is the same cluttered mess, and the cabinet is the same cluttered mess. So I, like, can't, you know, there's an influx of, like, 5 different kinds of ice creams, and I can't find room to put in, like, spinach.
Dang.
And then it's like, why am I gaining 10 pounds a year?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what Ben and Jerry's do I want for breakfast today?
Do you pay the mortgage?
I don't go that far. I pay like all utilities and then like random incidentals she's into me for as well.
Okay.
But the mortgage is like down to $7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, for this area, God, it's nothing.
Where is the house?
Near Chantilly High School.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll probably, I mean...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I like how we tiptoed around one that. Day. Yeah, one day. All of this will be yours. Well, I guess on that...
I'm still looking at Tess Munster, by the way.
Ugh.
I'm like kind of grossed out / turned on. I don't.
Yeah,
know
exactly. You're
analyze.
Like, maybe I'll find one picture and I'll work it.
Yeah, all right.
I'll find one thing to crack to.
But I'm still looking.
Well, I guess we'll call this one a day. Let's find that new outro music. There we go. This is the happening new tune from Grey Sky Eternal. Except my brother's band broke up like 2 years ago at this point. But, find them on iTunes. Spelled G-R-E-Y, the fancy British way. Mm. Folks, this was Papa's Basement. If you made it to the end, you have excellent taste.
Thanks, guys.
Just saying that. He's so much more heartfelt about it. I'm such an ass. John Papa Giorgio, at Papa's Basement on Twitter. Othello, plug your Twitter handle.
At Othello BT. It doesn't make any sense, but that's my Twitter handle right there.
It was a dumb reference to a joke we had, a running gag from our old
5-minute joke that's gone for 5 years.
So. And just to give everyone who is listening and a fan of the show a sense of our audience numbers, last week you plugged your Twitter handle, and how many new followers did you get?
I think I lost followers, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, it's all right. It's okay.
Somehow I managed to negative follow your account. That is great.
Maybe this week.
Yeah. This will be the week. Everyone give him a follow. God damn it. I look like a chump. All three of you that listen actively, follow the man. Show site, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done. I'm also back to writing because this guy over here encourages me to do it. So bad. And I'm like, you know what? I want to make his day.
Thanks, man.
There you go.
It's a good day.
So damn heartfelt. With you. just hugging.
Dude, I mean everything I say.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. Papa's Basement. Look it up. P-A-P-A apostrophe S on the Apple podcast app. There you go. Any Apple product, their podcast app. You can find us and subscribe to us using iTunes, I guess, as well. But really use that podcast app. And if you are a Droid user because you are poor, foreign, or a nerd, use Stitcher, and you can get Papa's Basement as well. Also look up Papa's Football Podcast, which will also be featuring Othello. And last but not least, spookiescomic.com, a comic I do with a friend of mine. I guess that's it. We are going to leave and bang one out to Tess Munster. Tess, what's her name? Tess Holliday?
Tess Munster. I mean, yeah, Tess Holliday, but I think that's her stage name, the Munster one.
Yeah, and once we are sufficiently depleted, we will come back. All right.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show?
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.